Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Loretta Williams-Burnell, founder and executive director of the Supergirls Shine Foundation, a Houston nonprofit based in the ION that is focused on increasing access to STEM opportunities for girls aged 10 to 17. Loretta joins the show today to discuss how she's pivoted her efforts amid the pandemic and how she hopes to expand nationwide. Loretta, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Natalie. It's good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I'm excited to talk a lot about what you're doing and what you're focused on. But just to begin, why don't you take us a little bit back and tell me a little bit about your career and your path to entrepreneurship and advocacy?
Well, you know, it's funny because when I think about my career entrepreneurship, I think that it probably started well before I knew what the word entrepreneurship was, because my mother was a CPA and she had her business out of her home. But the funny thing is, or I would say it's funny now, but it was, you know, thinking about it, my mom didn't express to us about business ownership. It wasn't something that she ever talked about as far as for us to impart in. She really wanted us to go to college, earn our degrees, and go that route. She did the same, but she needed to do this for a second income. And so she used that credentialing for a second income. But one of the things that I really loved about the fact that I saw is the engagement with people. And I think that is a quality that with entrepreneurship is that if you don't have a love for people or an engagement with people or wanting to solve problems or see yourself as a problem solver, it's going to be hard to be an entrepreneur, because what's going to drive you? What's going to motivate you? And so as a research scientist, I'm grateful for my experience with attending Central State University, which is an HBCU, which gave me the foundation of community. And just having the leadership roles that I had on the campus and then leaving that and playing basketball there, but then leaving that and then being accepted to Cornell University to do research there gave me the best of both worlds. Of how do we take the things that we think we know and the things that the world is giving us and then mesh those together? And because I was a girl from a town that didn't even know about a Cornell University and didn't even know that was an option for me to attend. And then when I got accepted to this program, my eyes just opened up. And so I just think that the role of entrepreneurship and then reaching the point of me going from a research scientist into nonprofit leadership, into higher education, and then into secondary education, the light bulb went off, Natalie. When I saw girls in the classroom that looked like me or that had a hue of me, of my skin tone, or had social economic challenges and didn't have the confidence. And I said, what are we doing in secondary education? This is not good. And mind you, I thought science and math was just the thing that we did in education because that was my experience. But in urban education, Title I schools, you don't have the resources. You don't have the manpower or the bandwidth to do things outside of just the mundane education process. And so I was that educator who didn't teach from the book. I taught from my experiences. I taught from my colleagues' experiences. I taught from current event and real world experiences. And so it changed education for me. But what the challenge that I had was, even with that, Natalie, there were still girls who didn't have the confidence to speak up in the classroom, who didn't want to engage in the science and math. And so I went to my principal and asked him, what can we do together to change this? And I came with this idea that we would, you know, have a conversation around and invited some parents out. And I thought it was going to be small. It was over 60 parents and students that showed up. And I was like, we have a problem. And the problem is, it's not just our problem. It's a lot of people think that we have this problem. I'm like, how am I going to teach and do this too? So I decided that, well, maybe we can just start small. We can have conversations on the weekend. And so we did that for a year. And every Saturday we would meet. We would meet with some of my colleagues who had brick and mortar. And we would take the girls to their places so they can understand about a woman in business and then understand that whole concept of entrepreneurship and business ownership. And then we started to gradually infuse the science and STEM and that whole math concept. But the biggest thing was building community about women in business. And then once we did that, my husband was, and this is a running joke in my house, he's like, I need my wife back and I need our money back. Because I was spending a lot of time outside, of course, you know, building this and doing this, but then I was also spending a lot of money. So I went to my colleagues and those who I thought would appreciate this concept, came up with the idea of Supergirl Shine Foundation, because when we were doing the song, Super Lady, I'm a recording artist, and I recorded a song called Super Lady. And that song has taken over, and we did business retreats with it and business workshops, and the parents would bring their daughters. And so out of that, being an educator, I would take those girls aside and, you know, during the break time and just ask them, what were they getting? You know, what were they getting out of it? And I would tell them, you know, the museum is free on Thursdays. You should tell your mom or your dad and take you. Or this robotics camp is happening. Go ahead and, you know, check this out. Or this science camp is happening, or this like that. And so their mothers or fathers would come back and say, oh, what are you telling our daughters? I said, well, I'm just showing them, giving them resources, you know, those kinds of things. So then that's how our numbers got further along on those Saturdays, because we were doing this type of workshop. And so when that concept of how can we be a super lady without raising super girls came about, that's where the birthing of Supergirl Shine Foundation came from that. And then December of 2015, I believe it was December 2015, we wrote those articles. We got accepted and we were approved March the 11th of 2016. And we haven't looked back. We're in our sixth year and we're moving forward.
That's amazing. First of all, what like an iconic career of it's like all over the place, but like how fun and how much you've gotten to do in different industries and work. So that's really exciting. I feel like the issue that you like kind of perfectly demonstrated is, you know, not only is there like a lack of context, like girls who take math and science in school don't know how that transitions into a career, but that point of, again, that's something I think a lot of people are aware of, but the point of maybe they know, but they don't have the confidence to be able to make that transition themselves or to raise their hand to even start the conversation. So that's such a great point. So you kind of set us up for how you identified the problem. So now tell me a little bit about Supergirl Shine Foundation and how you're executing on, you know, today, how you approach these challenges.
You know, when I look back at the challenges that just when you think about venture capital, when you think about C-suite, when you think about women in STEM, I mean, we can go on and on and on about those numbers, right? And even after pandemic, the numbers, I don't know if people are really paying attention, but the numbers of women going into STEM degree programs and careers has actually dropped. Now, it was already low, but the pandemic even shifted that even more so. And what we're finding is that families, just in general, people in general are trying to figure out, how do I not just make ends meet, but how do I actually get to this end goal sooner than later? Because the pandemic slowed us down and showed us that certifications are an option. And so when we looked at the beginning of Supergirl Shine Foundation, it was very programmatic driven. So we wanted to make sure that we had infused programs that had a whole lot of hands-on experiences, that had the content that would be correlated to the TEKS, particularly in the state of Texas, that aligned with the TEKS with the school, because we knew the challenges that educators were having with getting those TEKS and standards to the students for them to grasp it as their own. So we felt like if our program would align with that their TEKS, then once the girls would learn it in school, then they would get a reassignment to it or more hands-on to it when they would come to us. So that was our approach in the beginning. So we had a whole lot of programs going on, a whole lot of activities going on around that. Then we got to the point where we were like, okay, we're doing a lot of the great work. We're meeting a lot of girls, but is it sticking? Is it becoming sustainable? Is it long-term? So that's how we started the organization. And then the pandemic caused us all to slow down, right? Called us all to pause. And so we had to look at what's going to be long-term for these girls. How can we take the programmatic piece that we do so well and now make this a part of their lifestyle and part of their decision-making opportunities? And so we had to pivot. We created around, how can we increase their critical thinking, their problem-solving skills, but also how can we get them involved in tech how can we get them involved in innovation, and then how can we increase their leadership skills? So those are our three pillars: innovation, STEM, and leadership. And so when we thought about the leadership pillar, we knew the confidence was one thing, but we also need to give them the skills to become a leader. And so everything that we do from this day forward has a component where we're always asking them, so where do you see yourself in this? And what do you want to see yourself doing in this? Or how do you think that you can get to this? Giving them the open-ended questions on what kind of careers or what type of degrees or certifications that you would need in order to meet this particular goal. And so now we have a membership that we are actually doing our induction ceremony on September 23rd, which I am over the top joyed about, because we will have mentors that will be matched with our super girls that are in industries, and they're very diverse industries, that will help them go across this year being infused and exposed to different STEM activities, networking opportunities, workshops. But the beautiful thing, Natalie, about this mentorship is that every mentor is committed to her end game. So they are there to help her find out what that end game is. And they're doing it in a systematic way where they meet with them monthly for 30 minutes. They are inviting them to different workshops and conferences. They are bringing them to different networking events. But it's the conversation about, you know, I only know what I know, and I can only go where I know, right? But when I gain that access to understanding what's available to me, then I can go somewhere differently. So the program is year long. And it's for middle school and high school girls. And they are coming from all over the city of Houston. Most of the high schoolers are coming from our KIPP new partner in the Sunnyside area. And so we're excited about being able to expose into that. And then the mentors, again, they are diverse and help us to be able to make sure that not only are they aligned with the TEKS, but they're aligned with that STEM and innovation. So being in a space of, technology, what certifications are there available in Scrum and Agile? And that resonates with our engineering group, but it also resonates with our leadership group, because if they can get certified in those areas, they don't have to work at the fast food places. They can develop the systems for the fast food places and then eventually own the fast food chain. So that's what we do at Supergirl Shine Foundation.
I love how you connected that. And it sounds so interesting and so important to connect these dots. I wonder, just based off of, you know, what you're saying you're trying to do and how you're executing on these really big goals, what are your biggest challenges that you're facing on a day-to-day and also maybe even big picture to really, like I said, execute on these goals that you have?
The biggest challenge that we have right now is access to diversified funding. And because we know as a nonprofit organization, we fundraise all day, every day. And, you know, that gets old because, and, you know, we really want to focus on our programming. We really don't want to focus on the fundraising. But in order to be in business, you have to make money. In order to have money, you have to have, you know, it needs to be capital. In order to have capital, it needs to be sustainable. In order to sustain, you have to have access. In order to have access, there needs to be equity. And so we can go into all of those things about why we're not able to do the things that we need to do. Just from the simplest thing is, can we raise enough money where I can have a full-time salary and I can hire an administrative executive assistant? Why is that key? Because having that key person in here allows me to be outside to do the business development that sustains the organization. But one of the things that we need our community to understand is that when you give to Supergirl Shine Foundation, when you make a pledge, when you do a sponsorship, when you give as an individual donor, or you have corporate matching, that provides Supergirls the opportunity to gain access and equity to things that just weren't at their fingertips or even in their neighborhood or even at their schools. And what does that mean? Because our network becomes open when we're able to have more funding, because now we can tap into the innovative things. We can tap into startups. We can tap into innovation. We can tap into things that happen at the ION and expose our girls to the ION, the things that happen at the ION that are beyond what they can even think or imagine. And so funding is crucial, because if you don't have the sustainability, if you don't have the sustainable funding, you can't go out and do certain programming. And that programming is what's going to make the difference in a girl's life. Because although the mentor may not cost us, but the management of the process and being able to put on the programming cost us. And so that's one of the things that we're trying our best to educate our current community of givers, and also our future givers, is that, you know, it's not taking a chance on Supergirl Shine Foundation, because we've proven what we can do and what we are doing. So it's not even a risk. You know, a lot of times, oh, we don't want to give because, you know, we haven't seen you do the work. We've done the work. I have sweat equity. Our board of directors have sweat equity. We have 100% board giving. Our advisors have sweat equity. And, you know, so you're not taking a chance on us. What you're doing is investing in the right now future to sustain an economy of Houston, Texas, and beyond.
Yeah, that's such a great reminder and sums it up pretty well. And you mentioned the ION, and I want to talk about specifically your presence there. But first, tell me about the decision to tap into the greater Houston innovation community. You know, when did you kind of have that idea to really, you know, leverage this burgeoning ecosystem of innovators? And like, how have you been received through that process?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because, again, I'll go back to the pandemic. When we were paused during the pandemic, we literally financially almost went under. We're not, you know, it's not new for anyone, right? A lot of companies didn't make it. A lot of startups didn't make it. A lot of nonprofits closed. But because we innovated in that process, we took everything online. And what we knew was, if we could build community, then we could build our power. And so we took that community and put it online, and we developed a research team around COVID in marginalized communities and the disparities that came as a result of COVID. Once we tapped and did that research, Natalie, the youngest researcher was 15 years old and the oldest was 22. Each one of these young ladies have been able to develop a skill now that they use literally in their college and career. One of them went on to the CDC in San Antonio with that skill set because of her research that she did with us. The other youngest one is now a senior in high school and has been accepted to so many different colleges, she can't even number them right now. And it's because of her continual skill development within Supergirl Shine Foundation. She accredits who she is today because of being exposed since the eighth grade to opportunities that just wasn't at her disposal. And so what we decided to do, I said, okay, we can take this model. And we weren't getting the funding. Another thing is that we lost more funding than we had ever had. And so financially, we were like, oh, how are we going to sustain this organization? So we had to get creative and come up with a plan of, okay, let's focus on one particular area, but now we have to do it in such a way where we can problem solve with organizations and communities that need the skills that we offer. So we tapped into our PBI. Our PBI is our project-based internship. So that means that we have skilled talent that is diverse from universities or certification programs that we deploy to your startup. We know that startups need to work on their accounting. They need to work on their social media, need to work on their systems and processes and procedures. They need to work on data science, marketing, and they also need to work on their cybersecurity. And those are areas that we have within our Supergirl Shine Foundation. So we develop the talent, and then we match them with those startups that need that, because their biggest challenge is funding and becoming investable. Well, you have to have those things in place before anyone will even think about investing in your company. So that's one of the ways that we got smart. And so we offer that as a fee base. The other thing is we are doing is a professional matching program. So now we have talent that goes through college or certifications and they're ready to be employed full time. So our program, our professional matching program, allows that talent to be ready to be matched with a company for full time employment. Or it could be done with a conference, or it could be done with like short-term employment, or with matching them to be exposed to conferences like we did just yesterday with the HX Venture Fund. We were secured to help with the logistics with Info Fluency, who needed to be able to staff the actual conference. So they sponsored, hired us, and then we deployed our talent. They were able to be able to help with the logistics and then be exposed and gain access to the conference, the materials, the education, the VCs, and everything that was in that space on yesterday. So we ranged from chemical, electrical engineering, AI, computer sciences, software engineering, health sciences, marketing, and finance was in the room with our team in that space, something they had never been exposed to before. So those are all fee-based. So then what does that do for a nonprofit like us and what for a startup nonprofit like us? It helps us to sustain discretionary funding for us to be able to put back into program and to be able to hire, to be in a position to hire full-time employment, because most of our grants are earmarked as restricted. And so that means it has to go to a certain place or a certain program. And a lot of times it's not for hiring purposes. And so, again, it's another one of those things that we have to teach our community. When you give, it allows us to make the strategic and the most with integrity decisions to put the money where it's best needed so that we can continue doing the work that we do so well. So that's what the pandemic taught us. And, you know, this innovation is that we are surrounded by startups. Technology is not going anywhere. And if we don't infuse this technology arm within the degree programs or certification programs in which our Supergirls are obtaining, they're going to be left behind. And we know that there are more women that are raising families. And we also know that STEM is a driving force of our economy. If we don't put the skills inside of their hands and their hearts and their beings and their, what are we going to do with these communities, particularly in Houston, when you have 70% of the population is 20 years and younger, and they go to uneducated schools? What kind of skills are they graduating with? What will Houston look like in the next 10 to 15, 20 years with uneducated populations coming out of school, not necessarily graduating? That's why Supergirl Shine Foundation has to be here. Because it's not a urban problem. It's not a low, moderate income problem. It's an economic problem, and it's a systemic problem. And there are a lot of disparities. But when you give people skills and access and equity, it changes the game and allows them to be able to play in the game with the hand of the skills to be able to be successful with.
That's so interesting. And I love this, you know, the intern and, you know, full-time employment job matchmaking. Mm-hmm. I think that that's that execution on translating those, you know, classes and opportunities into, you know, career opportunities. And, you know, as you know, from yesterday's event, like a big challenge is the workforce in Houston. Like the talent is here, but they're not necessarily looking at startups. So this is another way to approach that challenge. I think that was a takeaway from yesterday's event too. And now it's exciting to see that you're working on that already. You
know? Yes. And so again, funding allows us to be able, so what we do is corporate social responsibility is huge. Like if you're going to go public, Natalie, you know this about business. If you're going to go public, you have to have this as an arm. So if you are a nonprofit organization like ours, and we can help you be able to solve that problem, you need to really partner with us. And so those startups that are out there, those organizations that are really looking to go public, Supergirl Shine Foundation is a community partner that allows you to be able to hone in on that CSR in a very strategic, in a very intentional way without just having lip service. Because, you know, we're done with the lip service, right? We need companies that really want to do the work, get the communities changed, and have the money to sustain. So when we do that, it benefits us, but it also benefits you. Then it turns around and benefits the economy. And at the end of the day, all of us want to be able to have, or most of us should want to be able to have, an economy where we can thrive in and not just survive. Because that's huge. There's a difference between poor, wealthy, and rich. We all know that, right? So, you know, we need to be able to thrive and get above this threshold of just surviving.
Absolutely. Well, to go back to the ION specifically, tell me a little bit about why you decided to call the ION home. But I also wonder if you can, you know, zoom out a little bit about being based not only in the ION, but also in Houston as a whole. Like what roles have both being based in the ION and being based in Houston played on the growth opportunities and maybe even challenges for growing your nonprofit?
Okay, so I'll start off with the I'll start off with the challenges of growing a nonprofit in Houston, Texas. It's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. So it just depends on if the glass is half full or if it's glasses, you know, half empty. The challenge is we're so diverse, right? We're so diverse and we have such a great need. Where do you start first? You know, that's, I think that's the biggest challenge that we had to come in and say, okay, do we tackle HISD? Do we tackle Pasadena ISD? Do we tackle, you know, I'm looking at the socioeconomic disparities, right? And the LMI and the school lunch, you know, the percentages of the school lunch and for students and those who are on free and reduced lunch. And I'm like, wow, where do we begin? Even in pockets of Pearland and Clear Lake have these LMI communities. And so where do you begin? That was the biggest challenge. But what we had to decide on is our location would, if we decided to move into the IM, because we were invited, let's go back. It's not like we didn't call and knock on the door and say, hey, can we be in here? Because we didn't have the revenue. So let's just be honest, we didn't have the revenue. So one of the things that I would impress upon anybody who has a mission and a vision, no matter if you have the money or not, you have to be able to be willing to collaborate with people in order to be successful. You know, we're all going to get to the finish line, but it depends on when we get to the finish line. And we are teaching over here that we want to get to the finish line faster. We want to get it there with integrity and with class and, of course, with sustainability. But we know we're not going to get to where we need to go by ourselves. And so much of what Supergirl Shine Foundation has done is done through collaborations. And that's how we got here, is because we committed to being consistent even through the pandemic. So our light did not become dim. We stayed present with our girls. We kept pressing on social media. We kept sending out emails. We kept doing events, even if it was virtual. We remained consistent. And through that consistency, we got a call. And so I'm grateful to our team that we just didn't give up. And that was huge for us because we knew if we could do that through a pandemic, then we could do that every day. So let's continue with that model. So being in the ION put us in a physical position because we were housed at a different school offices, programming that way. And then I had a home office, still do. But I mean, you know, working full time in that space. But being in the ION allowed us to have a greater presence, that one that we couldn't even imagine that would be possible because we didn't know what we didn't know. And so now that we're in this space, in this ecosystem, we literally have seen the value of startups in a whole new different light and the challenges that startups have. And so sitting with startup founders and listening to their stories, it's the repeated story of their needs. And that's where we honed in on our project-based internship program, is that if we could pair with startups, we could help strengthen their portfolio and preparing them to be presentable and investable. And then that sponsorship dollars helps us to be able to deploy more interns and also give scholarships to those who want to go off to graduate schools and, you know, or maybe certification programs. So that was one of the things that we realized. And the other one was just visibility. You know, if you're a fan of HGTV, it's location, location, location. You know, I'm a fan of HGTV. That's my downtown. So I love it when they say it's about location, right? But it's also what you do when you become in the right location. So having an office didn't change anything, Natalie, in the ION. But leveraging that we are in the ION changed for us, right? So that means you tap into the ecosystem, you show up, you offer help. You become visible. You listen in. You listen more than you talk. You find out what the challenges are. And then you partner with people on the outside of the ION who may be able to have, didn't have the access that you had, but can come in and help you be able to provide these solutions. So I think just being in an innovation space also changed our mindset of how we approach our membership with our girls and what they can experience. I remember in the first 4 months of our existence in the ION, we had girls in the prototyping lab with MD Anderson surgeons taking a laser cutting course because they were wanting to become more precise and have more precision in their surgery and as a surgeon. Can you imagine being 12, 13, 14, sitting next to a world-renowned surgeon who is at MD Anderson, who is innovative, and who is taking this course to become more precise on the patients that he has. I mean, that was ever-changing for them. And then to be able to have conversations with them about how they got to that place. And the other things that we've been able to do is have National STEM Day with, you know, Pasadena's robotics team. They had never been to a space like this. We brought the girls from that team here with our super girls, and they were doing engineering design, robotics training, and coding. And then having partnerships with improving and with coding and exposing the girls to coding where they can take everyday problems or everyday situations and put a language to it, to now that one of our super girls is in the seventh grade who's taking an engineering class because she was able to take coding in the spring. We encouraged it in the summer. She signed up for seventh grade, Natalie, and she's taking it now and will have a high school credit for it before she even gets to high school. So that in itself for us lets us know that what we do matters. Let's continue to develop the relationships within the ecosystem that makes sense for us on both sides. Let's collaborate intentionally, and let's continue to share with our community why it's so important to give to organizations like Supergirl Shine Foundation, particularly because we really are working on how do we translate what it looks like to develop diverse workforce ready to deploy, to change and enhance the technology that is to come.
Wow, what a great story. And that seventh grader is making me feel completely unaccomplished. I definitely doing that in seventh grade. And it's also a great reminder with what you said about, you know, being based in the ION. There's a lot of examples of opportunities like that. Like you can think of it as an office space, sure, but you're not, you know, really making the most of that opportunity. You got to really be present and take it's what you make of it, you know, is kind of what I get from you. It's you can just go into the office and work there, or you can tap into the greater community, which is so important for a nonprofit like you, but also for other startups. So I think that's a good reminder for that for sure. I wonder, just to zoom out a little bit as we wrap up our conversation, what would be, you know, that big success moment for you? What would you say your big picture goal is for the organization? And this can be something, you know, way down the road, or something you're seeing that might be close to happening even. So yeah, sum up what your big picture goal would be.
My big picture goal is that we duplicate what we've done on the campus of UACL. And that is, we have a UACL SGSF club that focuses on girls within that community region around the university from 7 to 12 to expose them to STEM plus opportunities early. And so our goal is to duplicate clubs across the country. We're looking, we have advisors in different states, and it's very strategic. Why have advisors in different states if you don't plan on nationally growing, right, with a global impact? Because you would need their expertise in the areas. So our goal is to have these clubs at different universities, whether it's at MIT, whether it's Purdue, at Central State University, Cornell University, Xavier. You know, we're looking to mass this model, because one thing that we do know is that the problem is systemic. And so when you have girls that look like you, that are from different, the same community, that have been successful in this space, then it allows you to know what's possible. But it also gives you a community where our parents can latch on to, because it's not easy being a parent of a STEM child, especially when you don't have the resources, because STEM in itself is not a cheap thing to be in. And you think about the camps and all of the materials and the kits and just the coursework, it can become, you know, more than my AAU debt that I have with our sons, right? But it's something that's doable, and it's something that's necessary, because it's a skill that no one can take away from you. So, but when being in a community like this, we can share and source with our parents ways that they can get it done at little to no cost. But unless you're in the community, you don't know that. And so our biggest goal is to, looking out 3 years, is to have at least 5 different clubs across the nation that mirror this concept. We know that this model works, and we know that it's so important because we tap into the university's STEM divisions, and then we connect with the university clubs that are there that associated with the STEM. And then we partner with, again, those schools around that community to get the girls on campus. The earlier we can get them exposed in hands-on activities and understanding how that path can take them to where they want to go in STEM, the sooner and the greater it's going to do for our whole economy. The last thing that I would say is, as far as zooming out, is Supergirl Shine Foundation has to become financially sustained. And that means that we have to have endowments that will be able to feed the needs financially for us to live beyond my lifespan. We also have to have planned giving activities that happen from people making an intentional decision to place us in their planned giving when they are no longer with us physically, but their legacy of giving can continue to give to the organization and the mission, so the mission can go forward. And then the third thing is that we always remember our why. Our why is equipping underserved girls with STEM plus opportunities through early exposure. As long as we do that, Natalie, we know that we are rewriting the narrative, we are breaking down the disparities, and we are causing access and equity become a normal versus something as an afterthought. So that's what we are looking to do now and where we want to go as a nationally recognized organization that is tapping and impacting globally girls across the nation and globally across the world.
That's so great. And, you know, we've talked about this, the entire conversation, but the importance of that support, financial or otherwise. So how can people get involved with the organization? You know, what's their step one, whether they want to become a mentor, whether they want to donate financially, where would you like to direct them?
I would like to direct them to our website at www.supergirlsshine.com and contact. Just go straight to the contact page. The three things that we are looking at right now is mentors, volunteers, and of course, donors or corporate sponsors. But the biggest thing is we want you to show up. So, you know, it's one thing to give us a check or to submit a, you know, payment online. Yes, we'll accept that. But come and be involved. We invite you to come to our membership induction ceremony on the 23rd of September. That's important because you get a chance to see where your giving or your time or your investment is going to. You can interact with the girls. You can ask them all the questions about, you know, what does it mean to be a Supergirl? Or how has this changed your life? Or what are you looking forward to if this is the first time that they have become a member of a Supergirl Shine Foundation? I mean, it's really that simple. Our doors are open. Our board is open for expert leaders in the area of PR and marketing, because that is an area where we know that when we get that word out and it's out consistently, everything is up for us, right? And then the other area that we're looking for is a STEM expert leader who is in the space of STEM that can keep us in front of the things that are happening and the trends that are changing in the industry. And so, you know, join our team as a board leader, and then let us know how you want to volunteer, because we do have program events that happen throughout the year. And volunteering with us is like a good cup of coffee on a Saturday morning with the sun shining on your face, because it's one of those things that you need in the morning. And then it's one of those things that you have to live. So, you know, you need the vitamin D to live. And maybe you need that cup of coffee to get you to get going on that day. So come and volunteer with Supergirl Shine Foundation. We'll give you the kick that you need, but we'll also give you the sustainability and the sunlight that helps you to thrive.
I don't think you need any PR support. You are your PR support. You have it down. That's incredible. And what a great analogy too. I do love a cup of coffee. No, but it's so true. Like, kind of tapping into a community where you get to see the difference you're making. Like, that's a super special thing. So that's such a great reminder that you can provide that to people. They just got to get involved. So thank you for your time today and for explaining that. I hope people listening were, you know, aggressively nodding to all of those challenges that you were talking about, because it's so true. And it's so exciting to see someone really moving the needle on that. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much. And remember, you know, when you give and you support Supergirl Shine Foundation, it is an investment that is on good ground. And we will hope to see you on September 23rd for our induction ceremony or at our Super Lady Soiree on November 3rd. Both places are great places to be. Thank you, Natalie, and thank you to your team. We appreciate this opportunity to share a little bit about what SGS is doing and why.
Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.